You're listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast, presented by Citi, your podcast for one-on-one Mets conversations.
What's up, Mets fans? I'm Matt Cerrone, and thanks for listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast, presented by Citi. Mets home runs go a lot further than you think. For every Mets home run hit at Citi Field this season, Citi will donate $2,000 to No Kid Hungry to help fight childhood hunger. Every dollar donated provides 10 healthy meals for kids. Last season, the Citi Community Home Runs Program raised over $170,000, which is a lot of meals. Learn more about it at Mets.com/Citi. This week, I'm talking to Michael Kadire, who played for the Mets last season, retired early. He's now enjoying a very nice, leisurely life. I'm incredibly envious. I'm very happy for him. He's a great guy. Always love getting some time to talk with him about the game, about retirement, about the Mets, etc. So I'll get that interview out to you in a moment. But first, real quick, if you're a hockey fan, check out this week's Islanders Point Blank podcast. Brian Compton and Mike Carver chat with the newest Islander, and I'm going to mess up this name, P.A., you ready? Parento. Is that right? I think it's right. As they discuss his return to the organization and playing alongside John Tavares. To subscribe to the show, just search SNY.TV Islanders in iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and please make sure to rate and review our channel. And with that, here's my interview with Michael Kadire. The thing I think of as I'm preparing for the show and I'm looking about questions and I'm thinking about what to ask you, the first thing that comes to my mind actually is, are you watching baseball games? Are you actively like consuming it? Now that you're retired, are you watching the game?
Sure. I mean, that's a great question. It's a question that I actually get quite a bit. And I am casually. I'm not going to say that, I wait until 7:05 every single night, turn the game on and watch it. But, if Disney Junior's not on, if my girls aren't in the room, there's usually a baseball game on, and I'll catch a couple pitches here and catch a couple pitches there. And I think, in my opinion, and I've always thought this as a fan, that's the great thing about baseball. You know, some people complain that it's slow and mundane, but the thing about baseball is you could leave it on in the background, watch an inning here and there, keep it on, and go about your life while the game's still on. You don't have to be glued into the game every single second. Now, a hardcore baseball fan, watching every situation and every dissecting every moment of the game, which is also fun, can sit there and do that and make that game fun too. So I think it's a game that allows itself to be watched by all types of fans, casual or hardcore.
It's an interesting observation. But before I move on, I got to ask you, because I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old daughters. They're always on Disney Junior. It's Sheriff Cowley. It's all that stuff. Can you get those songs out of your head? Because I'm whistling them all day.
I mean, absolutely. They're on. And now, I mean, I'll find myself in our van or in our car. And, you know, the movie will be on and the kids won't even be in the car. But yet I'll still be listening to it without even realizing it.
So, I hear you.
Yeah, that happens quite a bit.
It's tough. So when you're watching a game, you have a game on. I mean, what are you thinking about? How do you watch it? Are you analyzing swings? You thinking about your time on the field, or are you just a fan? What's going through your mind as you're just sitting back, less than a year after retiring, watching a professional baseball game? What you used to do?
Sure. Right now, I mean, I'm just watching it just basically to see how guys are doing. I'm not getting too caught up in guys' swings or analyzing or, you know, worrying about what pitch is coming there and there. And I may do that in the future as I get further removed from playing. But right now, it's here and there. I watched a game the other day with my son, and I would explain situations to him and talk to him about certain things and why guys did certain instances. But for the most part, it's just watching. I still get amazed and always have been, even as a player, at some of the things that these guys can do. And, you know, it's fun watching from that perspective, just enjoying the entertainment of a baseball game, which I think a lot of fans, do, but hardcore fans that dissect don't necessarily just enjoy watching good baseball players play baseball.
You know, that you're 100% right. I think that's partly why I love spring training so much, because given what I do, right, I'm watching all the time. You get so in the weeds on everything, especially in New York. You know this, the news cycle and everything just has a way of overshadowing the actual baseball game. Go to spring training, you know, you can actually watch skill and enjoy it for what it is and be in. And so, like, I think maybe that's partly as a baseball fan why I enjoy spring training so much.
Sure, no, and I totally agree. You know, the games, they don't count. They're not counting for anything. So, you know, you're not putting too much stock in how the team does, so you don't dissect everything. And not that there's anything wrong with watching a game during the regular season like that, but it's just fun every once in a while just to sit back and just and appreciate what a Major League Baseball player can do on the field and appreciate how easy sometimes they make the game look.
The first spring training I attended, the first moment that occurred was, I think I was standing right off first base and Willie Randolph hit a ground ball to Jose Reyes, who fired, you know, an absolute rocket to first base, scared the ever-loving, you know, bejesus out of me. But what's funny is that was like half speed. He was just a casual throw. Sure. Like and it just like shows you that you forget. To your point, you forget the talent, the skill level, and a world level, like how elite these guys are, and what you guys did. You know, it's really impressive. I guess what I'm saying is, if anybody's never been to spring training, they should go, because it's a really intimate, incredible experience to get to see that kind of, you know, power up close. It's pretty awesome.
Oh, absolutely. And I always, even when I was a player, and people would talk about trying to make their plans to come to a game during the season and whatnot, I would always encourage them, if they have any time in March, or even early or late February when we're not even playing games yet, just to get out there and watch. I always encourage them to do that if they were going to pick one or the other.
The other thing about retirement is there been a moment yet, and I'm going to guess no, but has there been a moment yet when you've sort of, I don't know, maybe you're watching a game or whatever, where you know, you maybe you have a second thought, or you think, oh, maybe I shouldn't have retired, maybe I still could do this, or are you just committed to it? It is what it is, and you move forward.
No, you're right in your assumption. I have not. I haven't had any inkling to get back out on the field. No itch at all. You know, I enjoyed my career. I enjoyed the 15 years I spent in the Major League uniform. I enjoyed the 19-plus years that I spent professionally. And it ran its course, and it was time. And I realized that and recognized that. And I'm thankful that I was able to not put myself or anybody else through it, because looking at it now, here we are at the All-Star break, not once having the itch, that tells me right there that I made the right decision. And had I played, I wouldn't have made anybody happy. I wouldn't have made myself happy, the fans happy, my family happy, or the organization happy, because my heart and mind, and it just wasn't in it.
You know, does your heart break for David, right, when you watch what's going on?
It does.
Yeah.
It does. It's tough. Because I you know, not to the extent that he has with season-ending injuries, but I went through that, especially at the end of my career. You know, 2014 with the Rockies, I missed 100-plus games, and, you know, probably should have missed more than I did last year, but so I know kind of what he's going through to an extent, and it's not fun. It's not easy to deal with. You know, you have expectations that you put on yourself as a player. He went into spring training excited, happy, ending last year on a good note, not only from a team, but also he played well. He played well into the latter parts of the season and into the World Series. So I know he had expectations, and then for him not to be able to live up to those expectations because of your body, not because of anything you've done out of the field, but because of your body, it's frustrating. And I know he's frustrated, but at the same time, I also know David's mentality, and he's not going to let this affect him mentally and physically to be able to get back to at least being able to contribute. And that's what I know he's going to try and do everything in his power to be able to get to that point.
Have you talked to him at all, or, you know, how's he doing?
I talked to him the day he had the surgery. And he said, obviously, it went well. And now it's just about the road of recovery. And he says, you know, what he says in the media and what he says to people is him. He's always been honest with the media. He's always been honest to the fans. And what he says to that outlet, to that avenue, is the same thing he says to his teammates and his buddies. He tells me now it's about getting it right. And when he feels right, then he'll get back out there and play again.
How much do you think it hurts a team like this, you know, specifically these Mets, you know, who go to a World Series, but then effectively lose their captain in David Wright? They lose you, Uribe, Murph, you know, guys who were sort of, who are at least portrayed as last year's leadership. What kind of impact do you think that has on them early in the season, you know, as they move through this year?
Well, there's definitely, I don't want to say there's a void, but there's definitely something missing in that respect. But what I will say is that the team now, that young core that they have all been willing to learn. They watch, they study, they see guys like David. They see the way David handles the media. They see the way David handles his teammates and the way he handles the preparation to the game. And they want to emulate that. So it's almost like a passing of the torch, so to speak. And, you know, the guys like DeGrom and Darnold, those guys, they see that. They recognize that. And then they take that torch and they take it and lead. And they're going to be just fine. They haven't even clicked in all aspects of the game. And they're right there in the thick of things. And you know, I've always said that the season is broken into three categories. First 40 games, you're just really figuring out who you are as a team. The next 80 games, the meat of the season, you're kind of just jockeying for position, getting yourself prepared, getting yourself ready for that last 40-game stretch run. And that's the part of the season they're in right now. And you see that. They're having some wins. They're having some losses. Jockeying for position, getting themselves primed for that stretch run.
How would you handle, because you describe that, and then I think about them bringing in Jose Reyes, which is an interesting, it's interesting for a lot of reasons, but one, you know, this was his team once, and he leaves and he comes mm-hmm. back, and he's sort of almost like a rookie, but he isn't. It's this very strange dynamic, you know, but then there's also the polarizing aspect in terms of the domestic violence charges and those things. So, I mean, as a player on the team, if you were there, how would you approach a situation like that where somebody comes in like that? Is there sort of a way to do it, or do you just kind of let this guy find his way? Like, what's the sort of, how does it usually work in this situation?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I think if you talk to Jose Reyes, you're not condoning what he did. If you sign him, you're not condoning what he did. If you cheer for him, you're not condoning what he did. Nobody is condoning what Jose Reyes did off the field. Nobody says it's the right thing or even remotely close to you know, accepting it. That said, he is on the team now, and he's there because the front office thinks he can help the team. And as a teammate, you recognize that and you realize that. You know, he's a veteran player. He's been around a long time. He's not going to step on anybody's toes. He's not going to come in and proclaim this is now his team again. He knows, and I think you've seen that by his willingness to play different positions and his willingness to do whatever he can to help mm-hmm. the team. So when you see a player come in like that and act like that, just wanting to be a part of the team, it makes it a lot easier to accept him as just part of the team. And I think it could work. Obviously, you got to produce out on the field. And if he does that, then everybody's going to be happy.
It's interesting because they're asking, I mean, he's only ever played shortstop, and they're asking him now to play third. Terry talked yesterday about maybe putting him in the outfield, which I think would be interesting. Mm-hmm. He's obviously played second a long time ago. As a veteran player who, you know, you've got skills in a routine and habits that are ingrained in a position, how difficult is mm-hmm. that to sort of make that switch? You've had to do it. You played other positions. Is it as hard as I imagine it is, or does it take time? I mean, how do you sort of make that transition?
You know, I think it all starts mentally. It all starts, you know, as your outlook as a player. And if you're willing to go into the situation and accept it and accept this is what I'm going to be doing, it makes it that much easier. It makes it that much easier to learn those positions. It makes it that much easier to go out and play those positions. And you take pride in that, and you take pride in proving to people that you are more than just the shortstop. You are a baseball player that can do multiple things out on a baseball field. And he has that mentality. He's shown that he has that mentality, that he's willing to do and accept it and go out. Are there going to be bumps in the road because he's never played those positions? Of course there will be. There will be times when, you know, he doesn't play third base like a third baseman that's played there for 10 years will play it. There's going to be times he's going to be out in center field and misjudge a ball or misread a ball. You're going to have to accept that. But the team is willing to, the front office is willing to, and Terry is willing to take those mistakes because of the other things that he can bring to the game.
Listen, man, I appreciate it. How are you filling your days besides Disney Junior? And you know, I mean, what is it that you're doing? you know, before I let you go, I just, what's a day of a retired ball player like yourself? What are you up to?
Well, I mean, now that school's out, the kids are obviously home throughout the day, and we'll hang out with them. And, you know, we were just up in Northern Virginia where my wife's from for the past week, and actually took in the first game of the Nats-Mets series there at Nationals Park. And next week we're going on a vacation. We have a beach house in the Outer Banks, so we're going to go there for a week. And the summer's obviously, this is the first time I've ever had a summer in basically 20 years.
Wow.
So, you know, this is all new to me, new territory to me, but we've got a pool in the backyard. We spend a lot of days by that. And just basically hang out and spend time together. Then obviously once school starts again, you get back in the routine of getting the kids ready and off to school and pick them up and homework and everyday normal stuff.
Being a dad. It's good.
Exactly.
One last thing, as I'm thinking as you're just saying you went to the game, have you learned anything about baseball fans, you know, going to a game, watching the games from the couch? I mean, is there anything you've learned about sort of the baseball fan experience that maybe you forgot or it's new for you?
Well, not too much, because, you know, even as a player, I was still a fan of the game. I was still I was still passionate about the game of baseball. I still followed the game of baseball. You know, I think being a player, a former player, and now a new reborn fan, I guess you could say, I don't take it as seriously as maybe some of the other fans do. I realize that, you know, it is a game. You know, it's a very important game, obviously, and it's with very huge implications. But at the end of the day, what the Mets or the Pirates or the Cardinals or whoever, what they do out on the field is not going to affect the rest of my day. I'm not going to let that make me all of a sudden be a better person because they won, or be a miserable person because they lost. You know, there's a saying I heard a long time ago, you love your life, you like your sports. And, you know, I think I now realize that as a sports fan, that is true. And you love it, you enjoy watching it, but at the same time, I know by being in that life how hard these guys are trying to go out there and win every single day. And if they come up a little bit short, that's not going to affect my outlook on how they're playing or the rest of the day.
Again, that was former Met Michael Kadire. Thanks again for listening to the MetsBlog Q&A cast presented by Citi. Citi card members get exclusive perks when they use their Citi card at Citi Field. Spend $50 or more at a Mets merchandise retail store at Citi Field and get a $10 Citi Perks gift card redeemable in the ballpark. Learn more about it at Mets.com/Citi. Thanks again to Michael Kadire. Great talk. Very interesting. Love the insight. A little bit of aspiration in there. The Disney Junior stuff is now going to have me humming that for the rest of the day again, as if it wasn't enough. And so, yeah, but I mean, it's great talk with him. He's a great guy. Really enjoyed the conversation. Good insight. So we'll be back again next week with another Q&A cast. And as always, let's go Mets.
This has been the Mets Blog Q&A cast presented by Citi, part of the SNY.TV audio network.